feeling that maybe I have some privileges over others by virtue of my status in society, or my, for example, if I have money or I have resources, so therefore I have some privileges, I'm superior to others. No,
right.
All of these are removed because of the fact that we are all one,
right.
Together in one. So it should affect us internally, and arrogance should be removed from
exactly.
Our souls.
The true beauty does not lie in the outer external appearance, what teens mostly feel like. So it's something that's in the good, it is the goodness of heart.
Exactly. So those values and those characteristics have to be understood and adopted by us by virtue of that ritual that we're carrying out apparently. So when we go for tawaf, for example, we understand that all of us together in unity are going around the Kaaba.
Right.
Because the Kaaba is the center and the focus of attention for all of us.
Right.
And we have one goal and one purpose and moving together.
Exactly.
So that sense
as
of unity,
community.
The sense of getting together, moving together in
right.
Unity, in unison, as a one ummah, that is created within our minds and in our feelings.
Right. Well, Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the Hajj dress code, Ihram, that reminds us that we are all equal in the eyes of Allah, regardless of our status or wealth. And the simplicity of this dress code, the Hajj dress, the Ihram that we wear, reflects the humility and submission which is required on this sacred journey. Professor, now you're talking about the tawaf. When we do tawaf and Hajj, it brings us closer as a community. We're all performing one act as a community. And what does it teach us? And what does it teach us? How we can teach from this tawaf the community strength to our children?
Yes, when we go around the Kaaba, all of us together in unison, and our children are along with us, and they understand that we are one community, one ummah, one society, which has to walk together, which has to work together. It
right.
has to have compassion for each other. We have to have empathy for each other. We should take care of each other. When we're moving around the Kaaba, we shouldn't be pushing, we shouldn't be shoving, we shouldn't be trampling upon others. We should take care of others in the service of Allah Almighty. We should
right.
be working together in unison, in discipline.
The importance of discipline, perseverance, patience.
Exactly. Patience, and yes, so many. And the difficulty, maybe the sun is hot. Even then, we are walking together, and
right.
we are helping each other. We are assisting each other. There's
it's
a common purpose.
It's a manifestation
purpose.
Of that unity yeah. and brotherhood.
And all of us are together, whether we are rich or poor, whether we are scholars or we're ignorant people, whoever, we are one community.
Regardless
one.
Of our wealth.
So all of us are moving in, together around to achieve one
right.
common goal.
True.
And that is proximity. And Allah Almighty says, "Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa." Enter into the state of submission and peace together. This
right.
is what state Allah Almighty wants, whether it is in praying together in a congregational prayer or praying and supplication with together, reciting a dua together. The most of those duas which are accepted and rewarded by Allah Almighty if they are done in a congregational manner, because maybe I may not be up to that fact, up to that level where Allah Almighty listens to me. But there's another person who's reading that dua and reciting that dua, and he's of a pure intention. And because
right.
of him, My dua is also accepted. So therefore, in the Hajj also, in the Tawaf, in the Sa'i, when we are going together, and there are people who are really sincere, people who are crying, people who are weeping, and maybe children, maybe they don't have that understanding still, but exactly. When they see these people and they get influenced by them, then they will also learn how to do that.
Exactly. Well, we'll discuss more with you, Professor, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Naqvi, and we are discussing how can we discuss the significance of Hajj with our teens. And Professor Salman Naqvi is helping us. Professor, you said when we are revolving around the Kaaba, it is a kind of a beautiful act wherein all people are just one, revolving around the Kaaba, worshipping for one God. And, you know, sometimes when we want to even encourage our children in some act, or like in their, for example, whatever the actions they do throughout the day, and when we want to compare them with other children, and we, this time in this comparison, we don't want to discourage them, we want to encourage them. And while encouraging our children, we start discouraging others. Or while there's a comparison when parents make between two children, they either discourage their own child or they discourage the other's child. But you said Hajj, the importance of Hajj, when it's taught to teens, when it's taught to our children, it's taught that regardless of our social status, regardless of whatever we are all revolving around one specific goal, and we are worshipping one Allah. When this the ritual of Tawaf in itself, it's not just it's you realize basically the entire universe is revolving around one true God.
Yes, very good. What you have said is a good presentation about Hajj and children. We need to teach our children, so when they get grown up, they need to be able to understand the importance of not only the rituals that we perform, but rather the effects on our lives. And one of the most important things that we need to teach our children is the fact that tomorrow when they grow up, they are expected to become responsible members of the society who are working together to achieve common goals. And this is very influential in creating a society which is full of energy and full of respect for each other and full of empathy for each other to achieve common goals. Today, if we sit down after performing the Tawaf and we meet different people from different societies and interact with them, different languages, different cultures, different backgrounds, and if we interact with them, talk to them, maybe we should have a common language, but still a lot can be expressed using our expressions.
Just expressions.
Yes. So, but I remember that once I had the honor to be in Mecca and doing the Tawaf, and there were some people who were along with me from another country, and they were all crying, and we felt out to each other, and we felt in our hearts that we're very close to each other.
Right.
So even those expressions,
despite the fact that you didn't know each other.
We didn't know each other, but together we were all had come together for one purpose. So when we're interacting with so many different Muslims from all over the world, we are learning about them, and we're getting to get in contact with them and how to associate with them. So this is a very beautiful learning experience for all of us. And if the children are able to go on that experience, it's a very educative a form of practice which is apparently for the sake of worship.
You're right. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. And this event in itself teaches a lot. Like, when our children get confused when they see the crowds, when they see the noise, when they see the chaos, they really don't know how to act. But this, the beautiful event of Hajj in itself, despite the crowds, despite the chaos, despite the noise, there's a sense of peace and tranquility that envelops our hearts. And may that tranquility be in our hearts always. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Reformation of the Mind. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of reformation of the mind in the Islamic lifestyle. Well, when we look at the Islamic teachings, it is said that we need to learn the things for the sake of hereafter, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to get the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is that when we get involved into this material life, when we learn a science, we generally learn it to attract the attention of people to ourselves. Or maybe we want to show off, or maybe we are just learning for the worldly purpose. And that worldly purpose can be to have a good income, to have good facilities in my life, the best facilities, maybe a better car, a better house, and a better place for entertainment, spending my time with my friends, if it is the weekends or it is evenings. So all these things, these all things that we think about, the schedule that we made for ourselves during the day, the timetable according to which we spend our day, and the things that we perform, all these things, we calculate them, we think about them in our mind. And if our mind or ourselves or beliefs are not truly grown or they're nurtured in ourselves, we cannot have a good calculated mind. We cannot calculate or schedule a day which will be spent in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the science even that we learn, the knowledge that we learn, that will not be the science or the knowledge that takes us towards the divine God. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of reformation of the mind in the Islamic lifestyle. And we said that there are people who learn a science or the knowledge to attract the attention of the people. And that is not for the God. For example, when a person or a student who is learning in a university, if he thinks that I choose to become an engineer or a doctor or maybe an accountant, maybe a manager, he goes after any kind of science or any kind of knowledge, any subject, if the aim behind it, if when he was thinking about to select this option or the subject, if the matter behind that, the thoughts behind that were to gain this world, to have the happiness in this world, and also if it was just merely to attract the attention of the people, then obviously this is not something that will benefit us. I'm not saying that, or the Islamic teachings that not does not say that when you choose a subject, when you choose a profession, do not think about the world. Yes, you need to think about world. We need to think about this world. But the point is, we need to choose something that will give us a better life in this world, which can help us to gain the best life in hereafter. Therefore, a person who's becoming a doctor, if his aim is to serve people, if his aim to serve his country or the people or save people's life for the sake of God, then he has basically got two things, a better life in this world and in hereafter. Similarly, an engineer who is designing the buildings, or he's a mechanical or electrical, if he's doing that in serving the nation, in serving people in order to get the nearness of God, then obviously it becomes a worship, that in his work he's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is necessary to reform our minds and to set our minds in a line with the teachings of God, inshallah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
Planet is being hit by double whammy of global heating and emerging El Nino. El Nino is about to accelerate the global climate crisis. It's time for action. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout noted, El Nino has arrived, and it will likely be the hottest in human history. It may already have made its presence felt in the April-May heat wave in Asia. The current heat waves in Mexico and the US bear its imprint too. In El Nino years, warmer seas in the equatorial Pacific raise global temperatures. The upcoming El Nino years will probably breach the 1.5 degrees Celsius global warming limit outlined by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. bringing renewed flurries of weather-related disasters, including floods, drought, and wildfires. Less immediately visible will be its economic effects. El Nino is set to aggravate the failure of the prevailing growth-based economic model, with calamitous results for the world's poor. A recent paper published in the journal Science by Earth System scientists Justin Mankin and Christopher Callahan studies the growth-oppressing effects of El Nino events. These are far from trivial. The 2003 El Nino lowered the GDP of some countries, including Indonesia and Peru, by over 10%. The 2010 El Nino brought heat waves to much of the northern hemisphere, contributing to upward pressure on the prices of wheat and other staples, which, when supercharged by speculators, sent prices soaring. And in the wheat-importing counties of North Africa and the West Asia region, this was a contributing factor to the 2010 to 2012 revolutions. As for the current El Nino, income losses associated with it could hit $3 trillion by 2029, with growth potential in many tropical countries weakened well into 2030s. The U.S. too will suffer significant damage. Mankin said, when we talk about an El Nino in the United States, the floods and landslides aren't typically insured against by most households and businesses across the United States. In California, 98% of homeowners have no flood insurance, and the big insurance firms are increasingly refusing to offer home coverage to new applicants. This, in turn, makes mortgages harder to obtain and suppresses house values. Climatological events impact lives and livelihoods. El Nino is one pulse within the larger and long-predicted process whereby global heating undermines GDP growth and drives inflation up. Several causal factors are at play, including labor conditions. Workers under heat stress slow down, and cost of adaptation is installing air conditioning. Another impact is infrastructural damage from storms, floods, and the like. In 2022, major rivers in Europe became so warm that nuclear power production had to be dialed down. Others dried up such that river traffic was grounded. Vital sectors of the global economy, such as semiconductors, are affected too. A further factor is food prices. While temperature and rainfall changes are bringing higher crop yields to some regions north of the 50th parallel. Elsewhere, the effects are overwhelmingly negative. Extreme weather is creating unpredictable shortages of produce, as seen in Europe's salad vegetable crisis of early 2023. These events are early glimpses of what it means to move from the hospitable Holocene to Anthropocene, a shift toward a climate hotter and more volatile than anything since the invention of agriculture. The current model of industrial monocrop agriculture is ill-equipped to deal with such variability. It lacks resilience. Today, as the hot breath of El Nino sears Mexico and parts of the United States, that message is all the more universal. It applies increasingly to the kitchen table as much as the bargaining table, to the spheres of work and social reproduction alike. According to Guardian, the planet is being hit with a double whammy of global heating in 2023, on top of the inexorable rise in global temperature caused by greenhouse gas emissions, is an emerging El Nino. This sporadic event is the biggest natural influence on year-to-year weather and adds a feather spurt of warmth to an already overheating world. The result is supercharged extreme weather hitting lives and livelihoods. The last major El Nino from 2014 to 2016 led to each of those years successively breaking the global temperature record, and 2016 remains the hottest year ever recorded. However, El Nino has now begun and may already be driving new temperature records, with record heat waves on land from Puerto Rico to China and record heat waves in the seas around the UK.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. We are once here again at Youth Station with you. I am Vita, and here
I
with
me. I am Asma. I hope wherever you are, you're doing well. I don't know if it has happened to you or not, which I guess it would have happened, because as human beings, we all have some inclinations towards some people. But every single time I start watching a TV series, I start to sympathize with one of the characters more and more.
Yeah, I know.
And we see that among all the human beings who are living in this world. They would have some certain inclinations and love and passion towards some unknown people who are strangers. They're completely strangers.
But they are celebrities.
But they are celebrities.
Yeah.
Like some certain sport man or actors, actresses.
How about yourself? I want to catch your hand here. Do you have any favorite celebrity?
Of course, among the actresses and actors, yes, yeah. I have, like, Meryl Streep is one of the actresses.
So
I love her so much.
What is the reason?
The reason is that she is always this lady, the picture of a lady. Whenever I want to think of a lady, she comes into my mind.
You mentioned something really tricky.
Or Julia Roberts, I love her the same way, because both of them, they remind me of these elegant ladies.
Got it. And this thing that you mentioned, the picture that you have them in your mind, what would you do if this picture is kind of ruined by their behavior actions in the real world?
Well, right now, I'm a mature person.
Yeah.
And I know.
It doesn't have nothing to do with being mature, you know?
Trust
Sometimes
me, it has.
You expect someone to be something, and when they're not,
okay, just let me explain myself. When I was younger, I used to think that, okay, maybe the picture of these people is exactly the role they are playing in the movie they are having a part in. But as I just grew older, I understood that they are normal, ordinary, breathing being, just like me.
Yeah.
They can be these strange characters who are not like the things they say or do. So I accept that there are two dimensions to these figures. One, the role they play in a movie, or the certain picture they show me as if they are sportsmen or women.
Yeah.
And there's another a dimension, which is their personal life. So whatever happens in their personal life is sort of something natural, because each and every single person of us has got their own personality and character. And I should not take that as something like the role they play in a movie. I should not take it like their real personality.
It is really nice of you to maintain this beautiful mindset about celebrities, but it's not all the same for the new generation, you know? Unfortunately, the young generation is making these celebrities their idols. They're following these idols, you know? And you are telling me that you can separate the personal life of a celebrity because they are just human beings and they're actually artistic life. But, you know, this is not what everybody can do. And as we see in this world, I don't know, some like famous Korean bands and musicians and so on, that they are famous worldwide, you know, and you cannot deny the fact that maybe a huge number of people, like millions of teenagers, are following the way they are living.
The way they wear, the way they're dressing, the way they style
their hair. Exactly. Yeah. And piercings and so on. And they want to copy these behaviors, you know, and I think these can both be a blessing and a trouble.
That's what I told you. When you're younger, you have different, you know, sort of perspective and expectations from these celebrities.
Yeah.
But as you grow older, you come to draw a line between their personal life and the life that you see in front of the cameras.
But still, it has its own effect, you know.
Of course, on teenagers, yes.
You know, when a person which is known worldwide is doing something really, I don't know, non-ethical or kind of...
Not accepted.
Which is not norm, yeah. You know. It will become a norm. And this is the problem, you know?
Yeah, I do agree.
And celebrities are important. Celebrities, I think, in modern world are part of, most part of changing the culture.
Exactly.
They're changing the norms.
Yeah. And they're changing the societies and the norms of societies. And, you know, I guess as the legislators or those people who are in power to make some changes, I guess there must be some rules for controlling these people. Because as you can see, media is going so wild.
Yeah.
There seems to be some rules, but actually what we see in reality, there is no rule. Because every single person, even they are starting to create some virtual celebrities, like the bloggers.
Yeah.
A person suddenly out of nowhere comes to speak in front of millions of people. And then by saying nonsense, they start to capture the attention of millions of people.
Let's make it a little bit more personal. I think all of the celebrities are overrated. I don't like, you know, for example, there are some celebrities that the world is making them the symbol of beauty, like Kim Kardashian and so on. We think they are beautiful, who decides that they are beautiful in the beautiful standards?
Let's go for a break, and then I'll have something interesting to add. Speaking of Kim Kardashian, just as you mentioned her name, she came and then she brought an entirely new ideas about how a woman should be.
Exactly.
Now, all the people, when they want, in all around the world, if they want to tell you about a beautiful woman, they would just say, like the Kardashians.
But it's not like
that,
actually.
Who said that? Who is going to put that norm?
It is about just standardizing the things that are not a standard.
Exactly.
You know, and we are making some extra rules to our own world only for money, you know. There is a battlefield of money behind every scene that we are watching in this world of celebrities.
And again, since the Kardashian, we were just talking about her. See, she is the one who sets the rule that, okay, these are the ideal figures of a woman. And then at the very same time, this woman has been cheated by her three husbands.
Unfortunately. So it happens for these celebrities themselves.
This is the life of celebrities. It's all filled up with paradoxical issues.
Yeah.
So I guess there must be some rules, some legal rules,
yeah,
to avoid them from being that much important. As for me, I personally do believe in what you say. They are overrated, and I hate when people put someone on the pedestal.
Like
see, we are all we all are human beings.
Of course.
We do not have any superiority over the other people. We are all the same.
Yeah.
The only thing that would make you superior to another person is your virtues, your personality, and your character, the things that are going to be judged by Allah.
Exactly.
The only thing that would make you better than other people is the amount of obedience you have toward Allah, is the amount of goodness you carry in your heart. That's it.
But because these sort of things are not tangible and you cannot touch them, you cannot see them, you cannot show them,
mm-hmm,
at a first stage, it's really difficult to be famous with these sort of things and virtues. Unfortunately, the standards of being famous in the world, in the modern world, is like money, beauty, being different and special and something like that. For example, Elon Musk, you know, he is the richest person in the world. And because of the fact that he's rich, he is famous, you know?
Exactly.
And
yeah,
when you are rich and when you become a model in this world, you will feel like you can control everyone.
Exactly.
You will put your standard on them. And I think we have to limit them by not just paying too much attention to these people.
How could we just, you know, because media is working so wild.
Yeah.
And there's this propaganda as if there are some plots behind the scenes and they bring someone and they make them celebrities. And then as just they attract too many attentions and too many eyes capture those celebrities, then they start to change the way people think and believe.
Yeah.
Through, you know, using these people, these celebrities.
Exactly. In this technology that you mentioned is, I think, the underlying reason why these people are so famous. If, for example, we come back to the, I don't know, 200 years ago, it wasn't something like celebrities. It doesn't exist.
It was just an artist, perhaps. Or
and artists,
a sports
artists
men or women.
Poor and miserable.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
We go look through all the history of these famous people like Da Vinci, we will just see that, oh, what a poor person he was.
And he was a jack for all trades.
Exactly.
He was an artist, he was a scholar, a philosopher, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yet he did not maintain half of what celebrities maintain as, you know, credibility.
Exactly.
In their societies.
And what are the critics of our, the modern celebrities? They have nothing. They don't have art.
Mm-hmm.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
How can I teach my children to focus on the things that are deeper?
You know what? I saw some of my friends that were limited by their families to go through these social medias and so on, and it doesn't work. I have to be frank that it doesn't work to limit your children not to know these kind of persons.
Unfortunately, because they have too much of power over people's thinking.
Yeah, by their friends. You know, for example, there is a friend next to them that will tell you, oh, do you know this person? And this question is the trigger to go through these kind of vicious cycle of celebrities, you know? So I think we have to let our children just know about this person and know about the dark world behind these celebrities.
This is the point.
Marketing.
Yeah, that's very important. Go and have a research
about
some famous actors, actresses.
You will get startled by
the
amount of money that is spending on this person.
See, all these fame, all this money, all this luxurious life they are showing to you is just something that they just show.
Show.
Behind the curtain. If you dig deeper, if you get into their mental health or if you get into their personal life, you see that they're suffering from different traumas and different issues. Some of them even go for addiction or even some of them for suicide. Yeah.
The suicide rate is really high in artists.
Yeah, so fame and money are not the exact thing to rely on. We come to this point that is religion, that is soul, let's say, because in our soul, intuitively, we have this inclination towards Allah. If I put Allah in the center of my attention, if I focus on this very fact that Allah would care about my heart more than my appearance, about my soul more than my physics, then I would live a happier life. And I would understand that all these much ado, I call them, are just for nothing. And you must focus on your own self.
Very superficial.
Okay, yeah. I understand that some of these characters are very lovely. And we as human beings, we have some passions toward them for special things they have. Like, for example, that person has got a great characteristic. Like this person, this actor or this actress speaks well, or she is so elegant, or she's like this
but
or that.
It doesn't mean that they are perfect in all the dimensions
exactly.
of their
life. It doesn't mean that, okay, she's my role model.
And unfortunately, we are running out of time.
Yeah. So, the usual drama of time is happening and we have to say bye.
To our dear listeners, I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In Britain, recommendations from independent pay review bodies could be rejected by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak if he deems them to be unaffordable. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Unions have expressed outrage over reports that the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak plans to block public sector wage increases owing to fears about pushing up UK inflation, which remains worse than in other leading economies. Recommendations from the independent pay review bodies could be overruled by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak if they are considered unaffordable, the Times newspaper reported, because of concerns that they could set off a wage price spiral. The possible move has drawn criticism from union leaders who said a decision to overrule recommendations would have profound consequences for future industrial relations and that playing politics with working people's incomes would put everyone's futures at stake. Instead of blaming workers who can't afford to put food on the table or petrol in their cars to get to work, ministers should focus on a credible plan for sustainable growth and rising living standards, said the TUC's General Secretary Paul Novak. The latest wave of public sector industrial action is expected next month, with junior doctors set to strike across England for 5 days in July, the longest such stoppage in the history of the National Health Service. Teachers have also planned fresh strikes for 5th and 7th of July. Increased pressure on the government to improve its pay offer comes as pay review bodies for teachers and junior doctors have submitted advice to ministers, expected to be released next month, alongside formal pay offers. An independent review body is to recommend a 6.5% pay rise for teachers in England. The government last offered junior doctors 5% to end their long-running dispute, which was rejected by the junior doctors. The government is still struggling to bring down inflation despite Prime Minister Sunak's promise to halve the inflation rate. Last Thursday, the Bank of England increased interest rates to 5% from 4.5%, the 13th hike in more than 18 months. Britain's inflation remains stubbornly high at 8.7%, and UK household bills are among the biggest rises in the G7, while mortgage rates are at their highest level since the 2008 financial crisis. Responding to reports, the General Secretary of the Teachers Union, NASUWT, said the Secretary of Education, Gillian Keegan, risked demonstrating even more contempt for the profession and a disregard for children's education should she ignore the pay review body process. Education is already being damaged by the worst teacher recruitment and retention crisis in over 50 years, but the Education Secretary appears willing to turn the current crisis into an unmitigated disaster, said Patrick Roach. If the government chooses to ignore the recommendations of the pay review body, this will have profound consequences for the future of industrial relations, with industrial action likely in the autumn, Patrick Roach added. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the Treasury said, "We have now received the recommendations from most of the pay review bodies. The government is considering these and will respond in due course. No decisions has been taken at this time." Sky News has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Trades Union Council, the TUC, has criticised the government amid reports that Prime Minister Rishi Sunak could overrule recommendations by pay review bodies for raising public sector wages. Reports that Prime Minister Sunak could block 6% pay rises for public sector workers have been criticised by Britain's unions. The Trades Union Congress, the TUC, accused the government of blaming workers who can't afford to put food on the table, after the Times reported that the Prime Minister could overrule recommendations from independent pay review bodies. Government sources didn't deny the claim, saying the pumping money direct into the economy risks fueling inflation, but added that pay settlements were being kept under review and no decisions had been made as of yet. Advice from the pay review bodies for teachers and junior doctors has now been received by ministers and is expected to be published next month, alongside the government's formal pay offers. It has been reported that the recommendations for teachers is higher than previous settlements and could stretch to 6.5%. Speaking to The Times, Britain's Education Secretary Gillian Keegan said, "If we fuel inflation, we will all be poorer for longer. It's impacting the price of everything. But what often looks like the obvious answer, pay me more, we all know how that works." Department for Education officials said the Education Secretary, Gillian Keegan, was speaking broadly about public sector wages and was not speculating on the outcome of the independent pay review process.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Palestine became top issue in Islamic world due to Imam Khomeini and Islamic Revolution. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, on June 4, 2023, on the occasion of 34th anniversary of Imam Khomeini's demise. Our problems should not weaken people's hope. If we see problems, we should become more motivated to find ways to overcome these problems. We need to help those who are standing up against these problems and those that are trying to solve them. Of course, we have problems, but in return, we have phenomena that are promising. I would like to tell our dear young people that the enemy does not want us to see these promising phenomena. The promising phenomena are far greater than our problems. We have made progress in the fields of science and technology, in the growth of industrial and agricultural infrastructure, in the creation of very important transportation structures, in workforce training, in bringing construction activities to Iran's deprived and remote areas. We have made progress in international politics, in national honor, and we have also had developments in the country's military and defense power. These are promising facts that the enemy wants us to forget. It does not want the Iranian youth to know about them. These facts point to a brighter future.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today. And that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
When you speak about hope, some people try to ruin the hopefulness by mentioning these problems. If you speak about hope, they say you don't know about the realities. How can someone be unaware of the realities? These realities that they talk about are the realities of our economic and livelihood issues. Everyone knows these things and everyone is suffering from them. There is no doubt about it. Some people try to damage the hope in the hearts of our people by pointing out that there are people in different social levels who are not concerned with religion, faith, and the revolution. Well, yes. This is nothing new. Even in the 1980s, when our battlefields were filled with our religious youth, there were also some people in big cities like Tehran who would walk about carelessly and in a carefree manner. Not only did they not feel responsible, but they mocked the country's officials as well. If you read the biographies of our martyrs and soldiers, you can see how devastated they felt because of this. Especially in big cities.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. You've done for me.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
As polls had largely predicted, the leader of the center-right party New Democracy, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, emerged as the big winner of the repeat elections held in Greece on Sunday after securing a landslide victory on May 21st elections, when the leader of the left-leaning party Syriza was left 20 percentage points behind. Mitsotakis swept once again the parliamentary elections, obtaining over 40% of Sunday's ballot. In the May 21st elections, under a proportional electoral law, the New Democracy leader didn't gather enough votes to win an outright majority. This time, thanks to new election rules, Mitsotakis has been rewarded with a bonus of up to 50 seats, which grants him an absolute majority in the 300-seat Greek parliament.
Με το σημερινό εκλογικό αποτέλεσμα...
For the second time in just a few weeks, the citizens have not only told us to continue on the path we set 4 years ago, but they have told us to move faster because the country needs it. Greece is opening a new historic chapter.
During his first term as Prime Minister, Mitsotakis was accused of orchestrating mass wiretaps of lawmakers and journalists and came under heavy criticism following a deadly train accident last February. Recently, he has also been attacked by opposition politicians and members of non-governmental organizations over the handling of the sinking of a trawler carrying as many as 750 migrants in the Mediterranean, in which hundreds of people are believed to have drowned.
Right or left, whoever wins, it makes no difference for the Greek people. It must be clear that Greece's present and future are in the hands of the European Commission.
Mitsotakis has so far pushed forward a large privatization program, which has included the sale of public assets and crucial infrastructures, and cut spending policies on public services, which have resulted in a further welfare retrenchment.
The biggest problem of Greece is the economical problem. The country needs new jobs, a lot of new jobs.
Also this time, the participation rate in Greece's elections only reached 60%, one of the lowest levels ever recorded in the country since it became a republic in 1974. Mitsotakis will soon be given an exploratory mandate to form a government by Greek President Katerina Sakellaropoulou. After years of financial crisis, Mitsotakis' biggest challenge will be turning Greece into a real player in the European Union, without leaving too many Greeks behind. Max Civili, Athens.
Spectacular geological site of outstanding natural beauty lies within the limits of the Aras River to the north and the southern end of the Lesser Caucasus mountain range. Designated by the UNESCO, Aras Geopark enjoys a range of climates as well as rich geodiversity and biodiversity while linking different cultures on the northern and southern sides of the mountain chain.
As of today, I extend my invitation to anyone from across the world who loves our planet and who wants to learn more about the geologic history of Earth to visit this spectacular heritage where 400 million years of evolution is documented.
Definitely a cause for celebration. The recent UNESCO designation is the result of decades of hard work by Iranian experts and officials on both a local and national level.
In 1995, a group of experts, including myself, started working on the dossier to present it to UNESCO. There were many ups and downs, but eventually, with the support of all managers of Aras Free Zone organization, throughout these years, the region was finally designated as a UNESCO geopark.
Located in Iran's East Azerbaijan province, Aras Geopark covers an area of about 1,670 square kilometers.
the highest point being Mount Kiamaki and Julfa, arching over 3,347 meters into the sky, and the lowest, the Aras River Valley. This is definitely a geotourism attraction with a diverse tectonic structure, flora and fauna.
At Aras Free Zone Organization, we managed to follow up this dossier, and it led to this situation.